Amen. Ephesians 6, and our text today are the verses 19 and 20. Our text is verses 19 and 20. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. What should a pastor preach upon the first day of the new year? After some thought and prayer about this, I have come to this particular text this morning. Is it going to be the past? Is it going to be the future? Is it going to be the challenges that face Christianity and the gospel in our day? From this text, the title of our sermon today is going to be Praying for Your Preacher. That, as the Lord would lead this morning, is our burden, and I believe is the urgent need in any church and in this church, that we have a band of God's people who truly, earnestly, regularly, and with all the desire of heart, pray for the preaching of God's word in this house. Now, in Ephesians 6, you will know that Paul is very conscious of the spiritual battle that is going on in the Christian life and for the gospel. And for this, he wrote the whole treatise on the Christian armor. And he warned us that we wrestle not against flesh and blood. This is not an earthly, material war, but rather it is a spiritual war that we battle against those forces that are angelic, that are demonic, and the powers of hell that are against the church of the Lord Jesus. And you read verse 12, that comes out very clearly. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. The seventh weapon that Paul designates to fight this spiritual battle is the weapon of all prayer. And he pleads with God's people to take this weapon. Now, there are three parts to it. And you'll notice down in verse 18, praying always with all prayer. There's the weapon identified, the weapon of all prayer. And there are three parts to this earnest praying in the spiritual battle for the gospel. Supplication, that's the first one. In the spirit, watching thereunto with all perseverance. So you have three things. You have supplication, perseverance, and watching. Watching, of course, is that praying, not the sleepy kind, not the praying that puts people to sleep, not the kind that makes people just grow dull, but it is alertness. It is to be on the lookout and to be seeking God with a diligent and an earnest mind. Then there's perseverance. It's not something we do once and forget about it. And then also the third one, supplication. That means a petition, the very focus of what we're asking for in God's presence. Now, Paul says that there is need for prayer for two purposes. He says in this verse, in verse 18 at the end, perseverance and supplication for all saints. That's the first. All saints need prayer. Every Christian needs prayer. And you and I need the prayer support of God's people. And every Christian who wants to fight this spiritual battle, who wants to be engaged in serving the Lord, you will be involved some way, somehow, amongst praying people, laying out your needs, taking them to the throne of God, watching, persevering, supplicating, and asking others to pray with you and for you in the Christian life. What a difference it would make. And every one of us need to have a focus and an earnest prayer life for the saints, Paul says. And then the second part, he says, and for me, and for me. And he goes on to develop that as he is involved in preaching. So the first is for the saints, the second is for the preaching of God's word. And he says, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Let me ask you, have you really thought much about and prayed about the preaching of God's word? After all, this is not really an abstract work. It is not something that is mere theory. You do this in a very practical, physical way. You, at set times, leave your home. You eat, dress, drive, come along to the public worship of God's house, and you take your place for the times when the Word of God is preached. You hear the message. You listen to the effort of the preacher to convey something from this book to your mind with the intent that you may apply it in your life and make your life more effective for the Lord, the God of heaven. That's the process. That's what it's about. And it is something that you are engaged in. It is not just a habit. If it's only a habit, it'll not last long. It'll not do much for you. Now, preaching the gospel is the wisdom of God and the power of God. It is the way by which God bestows faith. And faith is the funnel. Faith is the channel of the very blessings of the covenant of grace. You receive everything in the Christian life by faith. Preaching the word is God's way of bestowing faith. It's like someone giving you the very hose to fill your car with gas. And unless you have that hose, you can't get the gas in. And likewise, in your Christian life, if you want to have the fullness, the blessedness of God, you need the vessel. And that is the ministry, the true searching and application of God's word. Now, you can be very sure today that because of this, Satan is opposed to preaching. And that's why Paul makes this all weapon of all prayer, and he brings it right round to preaching as absolutely vital. Because Satan is in the business of keeping men in darkness. The preacher, the message of the gospel, is the business of spreading the light and bringing men and women to the truth as it is in the Lord Jesus. Now, as we think about God's work in this new year, we really need to take to heart this plea of the apostle to these Christians at Ephesus, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. So let us look at the scripture in light of praying for the preaching of God's word. I see here three things. Now, I want to give you the three main things that I see here. Firstly, Paul's personal engagement in preaching, and for me. Paul's sense of obligation in preaching. He called himself an ambassador in bonds. He has a task to fulfill. Paul's request for boldness, and he repeats that over this unction, this utterance, this ability to preach with effectiveness was in the heart of Paul as he requested these Christians to pray for him. Now, firstly, Paul's personal engagement in preaching, and for me, I want you to think about his situation. This is a prison letter that Paul was writing from Rome. He was in a hired house, under guard, chained, night and day for 2 years. And during that time, there was an opportunity to have people come into his home and hear the ministry of the Word of God. Now, it was by no means a perfect situation. It was by no means a time that was easy, either physically for Paul. He was a prisoner. He was under duress with all the fear of the future and what would be before him. And when the news came out that this man, the Apostle Paul, was in the city, people wanted to come to meet him, and opportunity was given to preach again and again to these people. Now, Paul realized he could not handle this situation in his own strength, and he applied to these people, "Please remember me in this most odd, difficult situation as I seek to proclaim the message of the gospel." And no matter what the situation in which we preach, whether it's a prison cell, a hospital ward, or a care home, a Sunday school class, or in a regular church service, the situation demands the praying of God's people. You know the story of Jonah, that he wanted to run away from the situation God called him. And there are many times that preachers would rather run away than stay at the task. Now, I do note that when Paul wrote this letter to the Christians at Ephesus, he never even hinted, "Would you please pray that I might escape from this?" He didn't pray that he would get an opportunity to flee or that his situation would be changed or bettered. What he prayed for was grace to do the task in the situation in which he was found. And men and women, that's what I ask of you. Here we find ourselves in Cloverdale in the 21st century. The odds are against us. The spirit of the age is atheism, agnosticism, humanism. Unbelief is so strong today, and we need God's grace to preach the word in this situation. Also, I want you to think about his continuation. He said here that therein, I may speak boldly. He wanted to be absolutely faithful in the midst of this very situation that he found himself. Now, if you go back with me to Acts 28, verse 30-31, you will notice how during this time, Paul was indeed faithful. He was truly, truly faithful, and he continued all through his period there until the day when he stood before Nero, when he had his trial, and all these days in this prison cell, he continued. And Paul dwelt 2 whole years, this is now Acts 28, verse 30, Paul dwelt 2 whole years in his own hired house and received all that came in unto him, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus Christ with all confidence, no man forbidding him. Now, surely Paul would put that down to the prayers of God's people. He had a free opportunity without hindrance to preach the word. We need to pray about that. We need to pray that we have open doors and that the liberty that we enjoy today continues. We don't know how long we may have to freely assemble and to proclaim the word of God. This is a liberty that is a blessing. We need to pray that we may be given grace to continue. Then also, keep your finger in Acts 28, please. I want you to think about his inspiration. I want you to think about the utterance that he prayed about here, or he called these people to pray for. And for me, that utterance may be given unto me. Now, if you substitute the word utterance with the term truth, you get the message of the text. That truth, and the word there is a very familiar word that you ought to know after this Christmas season. It's the word logos, which is the mind of God. And Paul is praying that in that prison cell, for every soul that comes in through that door and hears the preaching of the word, that Paul will have the mind of God for each and every soul that comes to hear the message of the word. That utterance may be given unto me. That truth, that mind of God would be my portion as I would preach the word. Paul didn't just want to exercise a ministry and say, yes, I want to show you my scrolls. Here's God's word. He didn't just want to say to them, here's my academic credentials. Paul really wanted to have power to convince men boldly with the gospel. Will you pray for that as we continue this ministry in the year to come? How the preacher ever needs the mind of God. How the preacher ever needs to have a message from God. And he wants to have a word from the Lord for hungry souls. We pray for hungry souls to come, but the preacher needs a word for that soul. Now, this is God, has to be God's doing, because Paul had no idea the need of people coming in to hear the word. And the preacher in most situations has no idea the need of people coming through the doors. Now, when you get to know people and you get familiar with them and they come regularly and they become part of the congregation, you may know certain things. But the person who comes as a visitor or a friend or just newly coming, the preacher's no idea. No idea of the past, no idea of the guilt, no idea of the sins, no idea of the burdens. But the Lord knows. And the Lord must give that mind, that utterance, that message that is just right. That is just straight God's arrow to the hearer's heart. And Paul was asking these Ephesians to pray for that. Now the message, of course, will not be easy on the flesh. People may not like it. And if the preacher is preaching just to be popular, he's not in Paul's school. Paul did not ask to be a popular preacher. He did not ask that he would have an easy message, but that he would have the mind of God and a word that would instruct, correct, direct, and furnish God's people unto godliness. Now, Paul, as he dealt with those coming into him at Rome, he was cutting against paganism, the paganism of Rome. And he was also cutting against apostate Judaism. So there were real issues that he had to deal with. There was Greek philosophy. There was the idolatry of the day, the hedonism of the day. And Paul needed the mind of God to deal with all of these things. Now, as you think of the age in which we're ministering to people who come to church today, let's realize they've got their head filled with all kinds of philosophies. A few generations ago, most people were not tainted with the modernism that we have around us today. Most people went from 15-year-old to work in the farm, to work in the field. Young people today, they spend many years in secular schools, high school, university, and they are programmed with the false philosophies of today that twist and warp the mind. Today, the preacher that is going to be effective needs the message that deals with these things. And we need the Lord's power to preach. Another thing that we face today is this notion of a new Jesus. a new Jesus. And the whole Jesus of the Bible is being reinterpreted, reimagined, and all of this is really now the liberalism, the modernism of this age. I want you to notice, and this is why I wanted you to keep your finger in Acts 28, verse 23, that Paul spent his time in this prison cell to all who came in to hear. He spent his time, Acts 28, verse 3, expounding the real Jesus. Expounding the real Jesus. And when they had appointed him a day, there came many to him in his lodging, to whom he expounded and testified the kingdom of God, persuading them concerning Jesus. Concerning Jesus. Persuading. And then it goes on to say, both out of the law of Moses and out of the prophets, from morning till evening. And then back down in verse 28, you'll notice that he kept on topic, preaching the kingdom of God and teaching those things which concern the Lord Jesus. Now you think about the ministry that we're going to have in the year to come. What kind of ministry is needed? Is it some new thing? And with all the issues that I've just been mentioning that are the around us in our society, what are we going to tell men as they come through the doors of the church? What are we going to tell the visitor? What are we going to tell the people who say, what is the gospel? We're going to preach to them Christ. We're going to preach to them the Son of God, who he is, what he has done, what he has fulfilled, and what he can do for the soul of the sinner. And as Paul was engaged in this ministry with all kinds of needs of people hearing the word, he wrote this letter to the Ephesians saying, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may make known the message of the gospel. And here he is engaged in preaching, and he's asking for people to pray. I take my cue from this portion of God's word, this letter of Paul to the Ephesians, and I say, as pastor, this is what I need of you as members, worshipers, friends of this congregation. The best thing you can do in 2012 is take the preaching of God's word to prayer. Real, earnest, persevering, watching, supplicating prayer. Will you do that? I'm asking you, as your pastor, face to face, eye to eye, will you do that? This is the need. Without it, we cannot continue. The situation is impossible. There can be no benefit or blessing. We need the praying of God's people, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me. So that's Paul's engagement. Then there is his sense of obligation in preaching. He called himself an ambassador in bonds. He couldn't run from it. He couldn't turn away from it. And note that it is related to the gospel. He's an ambassador in bonds. What for? To make known the mystery of the gospel. Now this word ambassador, it really is the Bible word presbyter or elder, a senior. He was a man that many looked up to. He was the church planter, he was the theologian, he was the author of so much of the New Testament, and many were looking to Paul to understand how to proclaim the gospel. He was a representative of the gospel. He was an ambassador of the gospel that saved his own soul. Here he was to preach the same Jesus and the same good news that had come to his own heart. Once Paul was in blindness, he was an educated, blinded sinner, a Pharisee of the Pharisees, but on the road to hell. And this is the gospel that saved him. And now he's an ambassador of the message that saved his soul. And every one of us are too. The message that has lifted us out of the dunghill and set our feet upon the rock, Christ Jesus, is the message that we must be committed to. We also see that he was a representative of the gospel that was committed to him as an apostle. He couldn't throw away the charge that was given to him, and he was an ambassador in the city of Rome. You remember that message that came to him once in the middle of the night, where the Lord said to him, "Be of good cheer, Paul, for thou must testify. For as thou hast testified for me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome." And he knew he was not there by some mistake. He was not there by some whim of men. This was the providence of God. This was divine appointment. And there he was to be an ambassador, a representative of the glorious gospel message. Now, as pastor of our church, while I am your pastor, I am an ambassador, a representative, a messenger to proclaim the message of the gospel. And I want you to know today that I am committed 100% to the gospel of the Lord Jesus. Lock, stock, and barrel. From Genesis 1:1 to Revelation 22:21. As a dying man to dying men, until the hour that God takes me from this pulpit, I am committed to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus in its fullness, with no deliberate denials of the truth. Now, in any one message, there's no way any man can ever preach all of the gambit of the truth. And any time we have opportunity to preach, we only preach a little portion of it. But we take that opportunity to proclaim it without apology, without any sense of shame, but that we have this glorious, wonderful opportunity to proclaim the Lord Jesus. Now, this is where God would have you to worship and to serve and to walk with God. Then I call you to this kind of commitment, because we are all representatives and ambassadors of the Lord Jesus. Now, this comes down to very practical issues. Number one, attend. You can't be an ambassador by not being here. If meetings came around and I didn't trouble to show up, I wouldn't be an ambassador of the gospel. And I plead with you to attend. Let it be some awful, awful distraction that keeps you away when the preaching of God's word is taking place here. Bring others. What a responsibility this is. Now, you think of Paul, he couldn't even leave his home. He could not leave his home. He was chained. He was guarded. He couldn't go out the door. But somebody was going out bringing in the people. Somebody was doing it. I don't know who. I don't know how the message got out. I don't know how they communicated or advertised that Paul was in this particular house. I don't know how they got his address. I don't know how the people came. But somebody went out and told and spread the message and brought the people in. Now, this is a work that you and each one need to take to heart. As we look back over 2012, how many people have we brought in? As we think of the new year, how many people can we bring along to hear the message of the gospel? Supporting financially, well, that's been mentioned in the bulletin, and I'll not dwell on that, but it is important. It is important to continue this ministry. You see the figures, you see the practical needs, and we ask you to be committed. Committed to this ministry, committed to the preaching of the Word of God, that it may continue in every way possible in the church, by radio, by outreach, in this area and wherever the Lord enables. And then, of course, to pray, watch, persevere, supplicate. And, of course, the attendance at prayer meetings of the church is indicative of the burden that people have for the ministry of God's Word. I have thought about putting in the bulletin on a regular basis the attendance of prayer meetings. Would your name be there? Are you a prayer warrior in this church? Are you one who has a sense of obligation, as Paul did, to be an ambassador for the gospel. We need that. And we need that from each and every one. And if we're to know God's power and victory and blessing, we need that. Now, the last one is Paul's request for boldness. His request for boldness. I have three F's that I'm going to leave you with. He wanted to preach fixedly. And I take that from the very meaning of the word. And the whole idea of being bold is just going up to a man's face and stating it frankly. The Bible warns us about the fear of man as a snare and causes us to feel. The preacher needs to be able to preach boldly in that way of being frank and speaking it as it is. Frank, fearless, fearless. Some things are hard to say to a man's face. It's hard to tell a Christian that he's wrong. It's hard to tell someone that they're going the wrong course. It's hard to tell someone that they're going to hell. We need to be bold, fearless in the message, but also freely. Paul closed his request that I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. As I ought to speak. There was a liberty and a freedom that Paul knew at times, but he didn't have it always in this situation. It was hard to preach with that chain to his leg, with that Roman guard by his side, with these people coming in, looking at him in his incarceration. He needed a liberty and a freedom that would come from God, as he ought to speak. And you know, every preacher knows how he ought to speak. And sometimes we go away and say, boy, we didn't reach the target at all. How we ought to speak. There's a liberty and a freedom that only God can give. Now, the freedom that he was asking, of course, again, I emphasize, he was not saying to the Christians at Ephesus, would you pray for me that I could get a nice church to preach in, a new location to get out of this cell, out of this dungeon, out of this these bonds? He didn't pray against the bonds. He prayed for an utterance. He prayed for boldness to speak as he ought to speak. Now, the Bible gives many, many promises for the preaching of God's word. When Moses was to stand before Pharaoh, God said, I will be with thy mouth. In Psalm 81, the Lord says, open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. And then in 2 Thessalonians, that we should pray that the word of the Lord should have free course, that it should not have obstacles to hinder. And the Lord gives that. And at Thessalonica, they knew that because there were many that turned from their idols to the living God. The gospel had power, and the Lord attended to bless it. In the book of Acts, you will read in chapter 4 of a prayer meeting where they prayed, Lord, that thy servants with boldness may make known the mystery of the gospel. And did that God ever answer that prayer? The Spirit of God came down, anointed men that with great boldness they preached Christ. I want that to be the testimony of this church. I want that to be the mark of our ministry. I want a boldness. I want help from heaven. I want an utterance from God. I want an enablement that is more than man's. I want something from heaven in my soul as I handle this word that is God's gift to bless the souls of men and women. A freedom, a liberty that comes from God. Now, men and women, there's only one way to get this. There's only one way to enjoy that power, and that's to do it the Bible way, to pray. Call a prayer meeting and cry to God, will you come? Will you come? We have called prayer meetings already. They're in the bulletin. They are week by week, and there are a few special ones coming up in a week's time. I plead with you to come and cry to God for these very things in Ephesians 6, 19, 20. For utterance may be given unto me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Now, I didn't get to the word mystery. The word mystery is not something that is oblivious or ethereal. The word mystery simply means that up until now it has been silent. Nobody has heard it. And Paul did not want to be silent. He wanted to open his mouth wide and proclaim it, to make Christ known. That ought to be our passion, our burden, our longing, and indeed our joy. There can be great joy in the midst of this, because when God opens our mouth, and when God gives us the liberty, and when God gives us the gift of power to preach, there will be joy. A joy that you can't define it, but you'll certainly know when you don't have it. There's an emptiness, a coldness, a dryness, a dullness, a weariness. But when God comes and gives the utterance and gives boldness, then we know God is here. God's speaking. This is God's way of blessing. And we know that we have a word from the Lord. I want people coming to this church in this new year saying, we're going to God's house because we know God will have a word for us. We know that God will have a word for my soul. I can't afford to miss. And I want to bring my family, and I want to bring my friends, and I want to bring my acquaintances, that they will hear a word from God. That's the ministry we need, and we must pray for it. Let's bow in prayer, please. Father, we thank Thee for Your grace afresh today. And I ask, O Lord, that we may start this new year with something from God in the preaching ministry of the Word. Lord, we need help. We need Your anointing and Your Spirit in the midst. And I ask, O God, as the pastor of this church, that I will never come to this pulpit without a word from God, that I will never come empty of soul, that I will never come dry and barren, but, O Lord, that I will come with an eagerness and with a thrill and a bounce in my soul, knowing God has a word for today. God has a word for His people, and I have the privilege of preaching it. And, O God, I ask that You would make this ministry to count for Thee and for Thy kingdom and for eternity. Lord, bless Your people today. Lord, we launch into a new year, and we pray we may do so by faith. We may do so with excitement. We may do so with a sense that God is with us. Therefore, all shall be well. Lord, minister to Your people and all our congregation, some who cannot be with us today. Lord, bless them, encourage them, and make Thy church to be a living witness, that many may hear this news of the gospel. O Lord, hear us now. Speak to us, we pray, in Jesus' name.